Blog Talk Radio.
Diva, Days of Our Lives and Friends. Tonight we'll be discussing the last week of the show. You can follow us daily on our blog at divadaysofourlives.blogspot.com. And there's an email sign-up list there. And actually, I have no access to the list. So I don't have any of your personal information. I don't know how many people are on it. I could be the only person on that list. I have no idea. So I have no clue. I don't see my email addresses, their names, nothing. Like I said, I could be the only one on the list. But what the nice thing is, once every 24 hours, you get an email with the links to every single blog post that was made that day. And today I actually got this pretty busy and I put up blog good for links today. And also you can follow me on Twitter at Diva Abdul. And thank goodness I'm over the hump. I'm no longer 666 followers. I'm up to 668. I was getting concerned. And also, you can follow us on Facebook. We have a normal Facebook page, Diva Days, and we have a fan page, Diva Days of Our Lives. And the links to everything is right here on our show page on Blog Talk Radio. And you can also follow us on Blog Talk Radio, and that way you will be alerted to any upcoming shows. So tonight, we're... have our co-host, Anna.
Hello.
And this is Marianne.
Hello, everyone.
And we'll have Sabina calling in later. She went to the fan events in L.A. last weekend. She went to the karaoke event, and she went to the race soiree. So and she can't wait to share her stories with us. And Anna, would you like to pimp a Hapkus tonight?
What's that?
Would you like to pimp the Hapkus tonight?
Oh, sure. Everybody should follow at Bob Hapka, at sign BOBHAPKAS, and at Amy Hapka. They're both a blast. They're wonderful people, even if they don't watch Days of Our Lives anymore. Okay. they're a lot of fun.
Oh, really?
They're still friends of ours, even if they're not watching that. So,
well, Amy was concerned about Stefano. She thought Stefano was dead, and she was really upset.
There's a picture of him in the coffin on the base site or whatever. Yes.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Is that really him? I don't think so.
I actually got a text from a friend of mine. His wife watches the show, and he texts me, Stefano's really dead, and he has no idea what he's talking about. He doesn't watch Dave, so I text him back, yeah, but he's supposed to come back. And he just texts me back, LOL. I mean, if you don't watch soaps, you don't understand that people come back from the dead all the time, especially Stefano, who I think he probably holds the record coming back from the dead.
Yeah. Everyone's concerned. They don't want Stefano to go, you know. Even if they don't watch Days, everybody still somehow knows who Stefano DeMere is.
Because
I think some people watched or heard about it, even though they don't watch soaps regularly. From Days over the years, I think everybody knows who Stefano is, you know.
I'm sorry, go right ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, now I was going to talk about something else. So you want to keep talking about Stefano, that's fine.
Oh, no, I was just saying that, you know, I don't think he's really dead. I think he's going to come back somehow. How, I don't know how they're going to explain it, but I'm curious to find that out.
Well, it makes sense if maybe he faked his death, considering he left all the doors unlocked. And he didn't arm himself, even though all these people came in threatening to shoot him a couple times. You know, it could be he set someone up. But the thing is, though, too, I guess he got shot through the chair from the back. So that's a kind of a bizarre angle to shoot yourself or whatever. So we'll see what they figure out. I mean, who knows? The show is so screwy, they might change their minds again, and Stefano's remains dead. Every week it seems like these decisions are getting overturned, and it's such
a
mess.
Yeah, seems like a cluster, you know what, around there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and I wanted to pimp the interview we did last Tuesday with Blake Barris, who plays. Nick Fallon on the show. Anna and I did the interview on Tuesday, and Blake is really cool, and I'm sure Anna will agree. He's very intellectual.
Yeah.
Very knowledgeable about acting. Yeah, didn't you get that impression?
He's
stuff.
So smart. He's really smart.
Yeah.
He really takes it seriously, but he was a lot of fun too. I mean, he wasn't fun. He was a lot of fun, but it was neat that he was so just thoughtful about it. You know,
because
you kind of sometimes you see these people We're so used to seeing people like the Kardashians try to act that it's nice and it's refreshing when there's real actors out there that really care about what they're doing and really want to do a great job and, all that. So.
Yes, and Blake should be appearing in August. And he also has a movie that's debuting in Paris this past week. It was House of the... House of West Things that's showing in Paris this past week. And he also has a movie, Meth Head. I guess that was the one they're trying to get in Toronto. That's
Meth
the whole
Head,
festival
yeah.
there. Yeah. They both sound really good. So he's been doing independent movies. He's done a lot of primetime work over the past few years. He did Big Bang Theory. Prime Suspect, Breaking Bad, The Mentalist. I mean, he's done a lot of great stuff. And it's so funny, though. I mean, looking at him, the first thought doesn't cross your mind that he's playing all these druggies. But he seems to be getting typecast a little bit as a druggie. So,
Dave certainly gave him an opportunity to do that towards the end of Nick's last appearance, Nick Fallon's last in Salem.
Yeah, he did break some news with us that Nick appears in jail. He's getting out of jail. So we were wondering, what they were going to do. And you never know what days he might have been, he might have joined the circus and he's coming back from the circus or you have no idea what they were going to do. Seriously, I mean, it could be. You never know. So they actually picked it up the right way and he's coming out of jail. What I like about Blake, too, is that he seems to not get upset when Nick turns to the dark side or does something wrong. He seems to like all that stuff. Just like as a Nick fan, I'm watching some of these storylines, and it's like, oh, they're really beating the crap out of his character. Basically, he killed two people. And had a runaway marriage and all this crazy stuff and slept with Chelsea's mom and it's stuff like that. Yeah, and you start thinking about, well, maybe that's Nick. You know what I mean? Maybe he just makes really, really, really bad decisions. It's true, though. I mean, But what I liked about it, though, was he enjoyed all that, though. He seemed very genuine about it. He wasn't, he wasn't, kissing up or anything to Dave. Just, these are different writers and all that than what he had. But some of the storylines were kind of bizarre, but he likes the dark stuff. So, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
and we're.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we're hoping to have him again in September. So that way, while he's in the middle of storylines, we don't know, and we didn't ask how long he's going to be on the show. And it might be one of those things that might be open-ended, like Lisa Rinna. So, if you like Blake and you want him to stay on the show, campaign right in for him. And you can find him at Blake Barris. And he just started a fan page on Facebook, so you can join that, too. And our interview's there on his Facebook page, too, so you can listen to it there. You can listen to it here. So he was cool, and I really enjoyed that show, and definitely we'll get to talk to him again. And I'm going to have you discuss our Kate scenes for this week, and then I bring on Sabina.
Let's see. Well, from what I recall, I was trying to refresh my memory before the show, and I didn't get a chance to, but she was on, Kate was on, I think, Monday and Tuesday, and Kate fans got a little bit of everything. They got her expressing her love for Stefano. They got some Cayman scenes, because Roman interviewed her as far as the you know, Stefano's shooting slash murder slash maybe murder slash, you know, whatever you want to call it. And then we got some scenes with Kate and Ian, so the Kian fans are happy. And, you know, just having Kate on, period, is nice, but it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of nice because really three of her love interest fan bases got to see something that they wanted, because the state fans had been hungering for something, you know, about Stefano, and it was nice to see that, you know, she still really loved him and everything. And you know, because Roman asked her about her, you know, did she have anything to do with killing him and stuff like that. Of course, she's going to deny it. Like, of course I was angry with him. Of course I was furious, but I didn't kill him. But she did go there. but anyway, she did go to the mansion. And, of course, Ian was taking it all in. You know, I'm trying to think, was it, what day was it? I'm trying to think. Sorry, I'm not real specific today. I'm trying to think.
Right.
I know that they had, I know that Roman came and interviewed her at Titan, and he called her Katie a few times, which for all the Kate and Roman fans, they love that. And that
reference
to
history, too.
It was definite ad-libs on their part, so that was cool. It was a nice shout-out for the fans. And, you know, and then we had Ian, you know, taking her by the hand and saying that he would be there for her and wanting to know, wanting her to confess, almost goading her into confessing to shooting Stefano, but at the same time being like, well, my lawyers will protect you and we'll be there, I'll be there for you. So he was sweet because he was there for her. And, oh, wow, he was looking handsome this week, too. We're really going to miss Ian Buchanan. He's been awesome on the show. We really love him a lot. And so always enjoy their scenes together. And and they had some flashbacks to when Kate went to Stefano, you know, furious that he was trying to cut her off from working for Titan because of a non-compete clause.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we had a lot of nice things. And, man, Lauren Coslow, she just knocked it out of the park with the emotion and everything. It's like you could just feel it. And because she was, you know, recounting how at first she was, you know, married him out of, you know, obligation in a way, but that they, you know, ended up falling in love and everything. And so it was really, really neat. I mean, even though I've loved, you know, Kate and Ian together, you know, it reminded me of why I liked Kate and Stefano together, too. And then,
mm-hmm.
of course, to have the Roman Kate scenes were nice. But anyway, it's just Lauren, as usual, just knocked it out of the park. And so I'd encourage you, if any of you missed the Mondays and Tuesdays episodes, definitely check those out. And I don't know, can you guys think of anything else that stands out about that? I can't think of anything as far as specifics, but
no, just that she kept. She just seems, out of everybody, she seems one of the most devastated that he's dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
She really,
I mean,
did love him, you know.
Yeah. So that's what really stuck out to me. And, you know, that's hard. I mean, that's hard to sell, too, considering she's been with Ian for a few months now, and then selling that she still loves stuff. Now, that's a hard thing to do. And she did it.
Yeah, she did.
Okay, well, I'm going to bring on, I'm hoping this is Sabina. Hey, Sabina.
Hi.
There she is.
Apparently my cat wants to say hi, too.
Hi.
Please excuse my voice. I'm still trying to get over my crappy illness that I brought home with me. But I'm definitely feeling better, thank goodness. Oof.
Good.
So I don't know where to start, but if you want to start asking me questions and I can answer them, that that'll work too. Of course, the Brady Soiree was the first thing I went to on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday was an all-day thing, basically. I went to the Samantha's Friends and the FLCE combined event. That was pretty awesome. And then after that, that night was the karaoke, the day's charity events, karaoke mm-hmm. At Dimples. So that was a full weekend.
Yeah, let's start with the Brady Soiree then.
Yeah, that was an amazing event. I was blown away when I first got there, and they had like goodie bags for all of us.
Aww.
Of like awesome gifts. There was a picture of Bo and Hope together, and there was just Bo. Of course, Peter Rickle and Christian Alfonso pictures, and then there Christian Alfonso's bracelet. We each got a bracelet. It's like it's her. What is it called? Excuse me. Sorry, I just knocked things over. It has a little charm on it that says miracles, and it's like a wooden, looks kind of wooden, like it's a brown bracelet with a little charm on it, and it's one of those elastic ones that just you just put on very easily. So we each got one of those, and then it also had a CD of Peter Reckles CD and Kelly Moneymaker. So that was just amazing. Oh, and then we also got a script. We all got a script as well, and it was all different dates. My friend Cheryl, she got what I consider the best script ever, because it was actually from air date of Friday the 13th in April.
Hmm.
So it was a recent one, and it was one I remembered seeing. I was like, doggone. that was an amazing one. And then they were all different dates. Mine ended up being a date from 2011, I think. Yeah, the air date was Friday, April 1st, 2011. And I wasn't watching then, so. but they were already signed by Peter and Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And then I never did get around to getting my script signed by everybody, and I may not get it signed by others. I don't know. I might try, but I just didn't. I was getting other things signed and trying to get pictures. So, but yeah, the night started off with a big bang because we had all these fun goodies and gifts that we got to bring home with us. And then I'm trying to remember, they didn't really do any door prizes because that's what they did. They gave everybody a little gift goodie bag and script, so they didn't have the need for door prizes or anything. Basically, when I first got there, Christian, Peter, Jason Cook was there, and Lauren Bowles, and they were all taking pictures together as a group, and I got a few good pictures of them as a group before they disbanded. And then we kind of just mingled for a few minutes, and I got a few pictures. I'm actually kicking myself because I think I forgot to get Jason Cook's autograph before he left. I think he left early. I don't know why. But it's like all of a sudden he was there, but then he wasn't. It was weird. I didn't realize it until after I got home. But so after a little bit of mingling and stuff, oh, and there was open bar for, like, the first hour, too. So so I got to get me a little drink, and it was a lot of fun. And then after the little bit of mingling, they basically started everything. And there was kind of like a little mini Q&A that they did when they first started off. Christian, Peter, Lauren, and Jason all were up on the stage and talking and answering questions, and There's actually a montage of what they all talk what all they talked about on YouTube. If you just search Brady Soiree, it'll come up pretty pretty easily. If you want,
yeah, I have it on the blog right now. It's on the blog too.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to catch a glimpse of some of what they talked about, Lauren Bowles is so cute. She's so smart and adorable. And of course, oh, and then the triplets that played Zach. I didn't realize they were triplets. The boys that played Zach, and I have one picture, but it was not the best because I got it at the end of their. They were taking all these pictures, and then somebody was in my way, and I didn't quite get a good one. But it's like they're all grown up. I don't know how old they are now, but they have a boy band together that they're involved in, and I can give you that information whenever I find it. I've got a little flyer here somewhere, I think. Here it is. It's called March 4th. March 4th Band, which is actually their birthday.
Oh, okay.
I have a little card here. If you go to www.youtube.com/March4th Band, and it's March spelled out, and then F-O-R-T-H Band.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there, and they didn't get up on the stage to talk or anything, but they were definitely there.
Could you tell by looking at them, like their ages? like a ballpark.
I want to say they're preteen, if not teen, like early teen, like maybe 12, 13, 14, around there.
Huh.
I might have to look them up on IMDb because they might be on there and have a birthday and be able to tell how old they are. But yeah, I didn't realize that they were triplets. I don't know if all three of them played Zach or if two of the three, I don't know, I think that they made it sound like all three of them at some point did. But yeah, they were there. And then, so a little later on, while Christian, Peter, Lauren, and Jason were all up there on the stage, a little bit later, Susan Rogers came in, and she was kind of hiding behind somebody, I think behind Nikita, and she came in, and then she came up on the stage and was talking there as well and answering questions. But then it was soon after that that they basically were done, and then they came around. We were all supposed to stay seated, and they were supposed to come to every table and kind of mingle with us and talk and give autographs and do pictures. But somehow that got messed up in the middle, and everybody started getting up, and then they got bombarded. So they didn't quite make it to the tables. Got a little bit messed up, but it still worked out okay, and it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of good pictures and autographs, and then a little bit later, Kate Mancy and Casey Diedrich showed up. They did come. I can't remember when they got there, but I did. They just all of a sudden were there. And Kate Mancy was so sweet. She actually remembered meeting me in August here in Georgia.
Oh.
And so it was funny because it was like a little mini reunion. We're like, oh, hi, how are you? Like we'd known each other forever and hadn't seen each other in a while. But and then meeting Casey, he is 6'5". He is huge. I didn't realize how tall he was. But he's very sweet. And then James Reynolds also showed up a little later in the evening. And that was amazing. I mean, everybody was sweet. Suzanne Rogers, just as sweet as pie, just like Christian Alfonso. I mean, they were all very nice. Peter was a little reserved. He was kind of reserved, he's not. But he was very nice and very appreciative of his fans and all of us being there. But I had a lot of really great conversation with both Suzanne and James Reynolds. So that was amazing. She was very sweet, down to earth, personable, he was too. I could not get over how amazing he was. He was very, very sweet. He's got a great smile. He looks even more handsome in person. And he's got a great laugh. I mean, you know, when you hear him laugh on the show, it just seems like it's even better in person. And I told him, I was like, I just want you to know that you have a great laugh, because he does. I think he has got a really great laugh. But anyway, like I said, they were all very, very nice. And Christian did actually remember me as well, because when she saw me, she said, you know, the last time I saw you, we were in Birmingham. So I was like, yep.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely has a good memory. I just talked about all kinds of different things with Suzanne Rogers and James Reynolds, and they were all amazing. So mm-hmm. we just basically mingled and chatted and got pictures, and then after that part of it was done, was when Kelly Moneymaker came in, and she came in and did a small set, maybe an hour's worth of music or less. I can't even remember. I didn't look at the time the whole night, so I don't remember what time she got there, what time, you know, she was done. But it was great, because it was some of her new stuff that's not been released yet. So anybody recording it was not allowed to post it.
Oh, okay.
So I actually did not record any of the music. I actually recorded, she sang the one, and I always forget the name of it. Oh, it's actually on the CD. The CDs that we got, well, Peter Reckl's CD, I didn't know he had a CD, but it's got about 10 songs on it. Then the one that Kelly Moneymaker's, it just has two, and it's got the one song, Can't Live Without Your Love, that was in mm-hmm. was on Days of Our Lives like ages ago, that I've always known and loved. That's like always been my favorite song, and she sang that, and I did actually record that. So I'm probably going to put that up at some point on YouTube and tweet it out, because it's, you know, not a new song, and it's very mm-hmm. good, and she sounded really good live singing it. So it was fun. Christian had all of us on the dance floor dancing to all the upbeat songs. Like, there were at least two or three different times that she went around and pulled people out of their chairs and brought them up to the dance floor, including her. I mean, she got up there and danced, and Suzanne Rogers and Kate Mancy, while she was still there, were dancing. Peter was dancing a little bit with Lauren for a little while, and then, like, towards the end of the night, it was so funny, because he was on the dance floor, and he was clapping, and he didn't seem like he was dancing. He was just kind of taking it in, I guess. So, yeah, we all had fun dancing the night away with them. So after Kelly was done with her set, she sat down to sign autographs. And I've actually tweeted with her a number of times, and I actually told her that I was going to be there before before the event. And so she was expecting me, and when I introduced myself, she gave me this very warm welcome and a great big hug, and was like, you know, she totally remembered tweeting with me, and she was very sweet. So I had a blast. It was an amazing night. It went by mm-hmm. too fast. The whole weekend did. So that was Friday night.
Was there any spoilers or anything floating around about, like, Peter's contract or anything?
Not really. I mean, I'm still kind of in the dark about Peter's contract and stuff. I think what it is they're not willing to give him storyline, and he doesn't want to be just sitting on the sidelines. That's why there's a big group of Bopies that are voicing their displeasure. On Monday specifically, we're supposed to be just flooding Twitter with lots of stuff. And I'm actually joining in on that as well. Again, I get in on every fan group, because I'm a fan of the whole show and every actor and character. So I just help wherever I can and whenever I can.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to help with that on Monday. But, yeah, I guess he's not very happy with the fact that he's got little storyline. And I, from what it sounds like, he doesn't want to sign a new contract if they're not going to give him any more storyline. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. Because we know Christian has already signed hers, redone hers, so I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to work on it, you know, like we always do. But
right.
So, any other questions from that?
Is there anything about Jason's book coming back? Did anybody talk to him about that?
I'm sorry, about who?
Jason Cook. Coming back as Sean.
Oh, yeah. They did ask about that. And he made it sound like he wasn't interested right now, but that he might be in the future. He has stuff going on. He has projects he's working on that he did talk about. I can't quite remember off the top of my head every bit of it. It might actually be in that video footage that's on YouTube right now. So he's kind of, I mean, I guess he's done at GH as well. I mean, yeah, we would love to have him back. And he made it sound like he does miss it, but right now I guess he's just too busy, I think, is what he was saying. But, yeah, I would love it for him to come back, too. And he was also very nice. And I didn't really get the chance to talk to him very much. I said hi to him. I got his picture. And like I said, for some reason, I think I made a mistake of not getting his autograph. I don't know what happened. But like I said, he just disappeared. Like, all of a sudden, he wasn't there. It's like, dude, I guess he had some other things to go do or something. Because even Kate... Kate and Casey actually did not stay that long either. And then Suzanne Rogers kind of ducked out at some point. I did see her leaving. So the last ones that were there at the very end was James Reynolds, Christian, and Peter. Oh, and Lauren. I mean, Lauren stayed through the whole thing too. So, and her mom was so sweet. Oh, excuse me. I got to talk to her mom for a few minutes, and I was just curious. Well, she does. She actually attends public school. She's not homeschooled or anything. She just, you know, I guess when they need her
hey guys,
to come.
Sorry to interrupt. But there's a sound going on. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but I'm hearing
yeah,
a sound.
Yeah, I hear it.
Kind of.
Okay, it's done now.
Sorry. I just wanted to make sure you knew that was going on.
But, yeah, her mom was saying, or well, actually, Lauren even was asked that question, if she's homeschooled or not. And she said, no, I go to public school. And she's in the second grade. And her mom told me that she keeps her work on days separate from school. So, like, when she's at school, she doesn't talk about, you know, work or anything. She's just a little girl and goes about her business of, you know, being a schoolgirl and being in school. So, and then, you know, her friends will ask her, are you going to work? Like, if she's brought in late or if she's picked up early or whatever, she'll be asked, so are you going to work now or are you coming in from work or whatever, you know. So it's like, you know, they consider it work for her, but it is so cute. She is, and she seems so, you know, poised, and I hope she always stays like that and doesn't get jaded by it all. But I asked specifically how she ended up getting that role, and it was an interesting story. Her mom said that she was spotted, I guess, in a mall. And somebody came up to her mom and was, like, telling her that, you know, we'd love to, I guess, screen test her for this role. And you know, they were approached about it. And she was skeptical, though, because she wasn't sure if it was a scam or whatever. And I guess it took a number of months. I guess, I want to say she said 9 months But it took a while before they got back to her again. Like, they talked, they approached her, and then I guess it took a while for them to be able to come back to her again and say, let's bring her in for this screen test or whatever. And so when they finally did contact her again, and, you know, they brought her in, and she tested, and I guess she was a natural. And, I mean, she was, I guess, just out with her parents. She wasn't doing anything in the acting realm, from what I can tell. So, but she just ended up being such a natural. And so that's how that came about. That was really neat. I really enjoyed talking to her mom. Her mom's actually from Atlanta. So it was fun talking to her. So she was actually at both that night and then on the Saturday during the day. She was at that event too.
Mm-hmm.
Along with Suzanne Rogers and Kate Mancey. Those were the three that were there at the soiree that were also, excuse me, at the, I guess, the Saturday day-long event. So I guess I hopefully answered all your questions on that. I might move on to the Saturday event. Was basically, if you wanted the breakfast, you get the breakfast and at the hotel that the event was being held at, and it was separate. separate in the sense that you ate at the restaurant, and you ate before you saw any of the actors. And so they came in at around 10. So the breakfast went from like 7 to 10 o'clock, basically. And it was a buffet. And then after breakfast, we went into this other room. And let me try to remember who all was there. Like I said, I named off three already. And then Terrell Ransom Jr., the one that plays Theo, he was there. And it's so cute. Mm-hmm. Lauren Bowles' mom said that they're really close buddies and friends in real life, you know, outside of the show. They're really close. And it's so cute. I guess he's only, I think, 4 months older than her, so they're really close in age as well. And they're so cute together. It is so cute. So yeah, he was there. Oh, and I got to meet Suzanne Rogers' mom. She brought her mom, and she is absolutely gorgeous. I'll have to tweet pictures of that. I have a picture of me with her and her mom, and I didn't catch her name though. So hopefully I can ask somebody. I'm sure that the organizer of Samantha's Friends will know her mom's name, because I didn't quite catch it, because she kept talking about her being her mom. She didn't say, my mom, so-and-so, you know. So, yeah, they were there. And then Kate Mancey, Rachel Melvin, who played Chelsea.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she was there. She's sweet. She's a little odd. She seems a little odd, but she's very, very nice. And then Martha Madison was there, and she's super sweet. It was funny because they were doing this auction, and they were auctioning off lunch. Was it lunch or dinner? I think it was dinner with the actors that were there, and it was only certain ones, not all of them. We're going to go to the dinner. And then they were going to do it, for, I guess, at the restaurant again, at the hotel, I think. And it was a certain amount or whatever. But, like, in the middle of the auction, Martha Madison speaks up and says, I will offer my restaurant. You can come and have the dinner at my restaurant, which is called Henry's Hat. It was right across the street from where we were. And so she offered up her restaurant and said you could do it. I can't remember the amount, but she gave a flat amount, and she said that's what she'll do. And then so they said that was okay. And I guess I think it ended up being three people that went in on that. They each paid a fee towards the whole amount, so that they could all three go and have dinner. So I thought that was really sweet of her. Okay, so it was Dan, and then it was, and Valerie Wildman was there.
Oh,
and that's a whole nother story. I will get to that towards the end because that was an amazing. That was amazing getting to meet her.
Oh, good.
Eric Martzoff was there.
Her.
Trying to remember who all was there. And Walt Willie, I think that's how you say his name. I guess he's from Young and the Restless. And horrible. I don't even know who he. I mean, I've heard of him. But I don't know.
Yeah, he's from All My Children. Yeah, he is Jack Montgomery. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then another actress that I'm not sure if she was from All My Children or, but there was another actress there that was somebody I don't know because they're not from Days, and I don't watch anything but Days, except, you know, so, and I don't know her name because I, like I said, I don't know who she was. But I think that was it. And, of course, Tony, the Lounging with Tony dude, I don't know if you know who he is. He does his own little show on online. He's interviewed Martha Madison with his first. His show is called Lounging with Tony. And he was there as the MC, and he was also the MC at karaoke. And I don't know if you see, I tweet out, try to help him get followers and people watching his videos or his little interviews. And so it was nice getting to meet him. He was very appreciative and was happy to meet me. And I happened to have a Lounging with Tony t-shirt that I now have pictures of me with him in my shirt. I'm in my shirt and standing next to him, so it's mm-hmm. funny. So, yeah, I think that was it. It was Rachel Melvin and Martha Madison, and Eric Martzoff was the only. It's funny because this time it was all females and one male for Days. Usually it's all guys and one female or two females. So, yeah, they were all there. And then it was kind of like a Q&A, or no, what? I guess they did it probably a Q&A at some point. Yeah, they did, and I think I missed that part because I wasn't supposed to be staying for the whole thing. But I ended up staying longer, and then they had they did the raffle, and I bought one raffle ticket, and I actually won from that one raffle ticket that I bought, and I won a Brady Pub t-shirt that was signed by everybody there. So that was really neat. And then I ended up winning. A friend of mine had to leave early, and she had bought a bunch of raffle tickets. And I ended up winning from her raffle tickets one thing, a Starbucks gift card, which I was going to give it to her because I saw her later, but I totally forgot. But she's like, you can keep it. So that was nice. So, yeah, they had that. Oh, I almost forgot, Patrika Darbo. She was there. She was kind of the auctioneer diva or whatever, but she was a little loopy because she had just had surgery, I guess, on her nose in some capacity. And so she was, I think, a little drugged up. Not in a bad way, but oh my gosh, she was hilarious. Oh my goodness. I kind of wish I had videotaped what she was doing. Oh man, she, at one point, she had this thing around her neck that I want to say it's just a massager vibrator, but it doesn't look like that. Just put it that way. She had it all
vibrator
and it's stitches. Yes, I believe that's what it was. What it really was, but she auctioned it off right off her neck. I'm like, okay, was this a planned thing or it was hilarious. I was dying. she was definitely a little giddy on that one. And so, yeah, I totally forgot she was there. She's very sweet. Of course, she was definitely a little worried about germs, so she was not doing too much hugging and kissing because she's just had her surgery, I guess, not long ago. So, yeah, so she was there. So I got to meet her. And then... after the the auctioning and the raffles, they basically mingled around for a while until people started to leave, I guess. And that's, like I said, I got to have some massive conversation with Valerie Wildman. She is just as amazing in person as on the phone. And very gracious.
Aww,
very.
I knew she would be.
Yeah, she was very excited to meet me. She knew I was going to be there, and she remembered me, and it was amazing. At one point, I said something that I can't even quite remember. I was talking about helping her out with whatever projects she has that she's thinking of starting up, and she said, "Oh, you're going to make me cry." And she just was so warm and friendly and amazing. So that was definitely a wonderful afternoon, getting to visit with everybody. And Martha Madison, too, was super sweet. I definitely, they talked about Belle being on the boat with, you know, Claire and Sean and just circling, you know. And, of course, I would love to see her back, but I'm not sure when and, you know, if that's happening. And there was not really much talk about that. They were definitely joking around about her being on the boat for a long time and then talking about Valerie. Maybe she's on the boat with them.
Mm-hmm.
Faye, you know. So, it was all good fun. And then, after all the mingling, like I said, it actually was supposed to end around 4:30, and it kind of started to end before that because people started to head out. And I know Martha had stuff to go take care of and do, and I guess meetings to go to, and I think Rachel had to leave, and Kate Mancy left pretty early on as well. But I had seen her the night before, and I'd gotten her autograph back in August. I mean, I don't know how many times I need to have them sign whatever, so... she signed my shirt too. She hadn't signed the T-shirt yet, and so she came over and found me and was like, "Oh, I gotta sign that." So, yeah, it's funny because I never win things, and I won three things that weekend because I haven't told you about the karaoke yet. So
mm-hmm.
After that afternoon was over, that was just amazing. I of course had to go back to the hotel and wait on the karaoke. And that was a lot of fun. That
mm-hmm.
Was at Dimples. It's basically a karaoke bar. They serve drinks and they have food, and we actually had some food catered, I guess, or you know, little snackies and stuff for our group. And it was actually, I think at the very beginning, it was mostly just the event people there. But then as the night grew, a lot of you know people came in from. That were not part of our group, so it was definitely, you know, it was definitely lots of fun. So the only ones that were there, Christy did not make it. I was really sad that Christy Clark did not make it because she was supposed
uh-huh.
to be there, and I hadn't heard that she was not going to, you know, make it, but last minute, she didn't show up, so it was hearing. Patrick Muldoon,
mm-hmm.
Sean Christian, Judy Evans, and actually Matthew Ashford stopped by. That was a surprise because
mm-hmm.
a few others were asked to stop by just to stop by, but
mm-hmm.
didn't make it. You know, a few others were just to throw it out there. But it was funny because Justin Hartley actually showed up. He was just there, like. You know, of course I know him because he used to be on Passions, but at
mm-hmm.
any rate, it was just Sean Christian, Eric Martzoff, that's right, that's who else, Eric Martzoff, Judy Evans, Patrick Muldoon, Galen Gehring. Let me tell you what, Galen and Patrick have the best friendship. They are funny. They are funny as all get out together and drinking. They are just just to sit and watch them the whole night. And Judy Evans, same way. She is a crazy drunk, but she is so fun. And I actually, I did get up and sing with Patrick. I sang, you know, the one that I want from Greece. And he was not happy with that song selection. He was like, I can't sing this song. It's, I guess it's too high pitched or something. I don't know. But it was still fun. We had Sean. Sean Christian came. I don't know. I think Patrick asked him to come on stage with him and help us. And I tell you, Sean was attached to the pole. There was a pole on the stage. He was attached to that pole the whole night. Every time he was on that stage, that's where he was, on the pole. It was hilarious. Oh, I've got a lot of good pictures of that. And if I can ever get my video, my DVD to work, because I got a DVD of the whole event, and I can actually watch. But they streamed it live. I didn't know that they were doing that, and I don't think and a lot of us knew. But apparently, if you were on Twitter at some point that night, you would have seen the live feed that they were, you know, putting out there from Dimples that night. It's like, okay. So a lot of people already had seen me and Patrick singing. And then a little later, I got up with Judy Evans and some other people sing Dancing Queen, because I love that song. And Judy's like, oh, you're going to come sing with us, right? And I said, yeah, because she threatened that. She threatened me. She's like, you better get out of here right now if you're not going to come sing with us. So she was a lot of fun. She, you know, back in, you know, here in Atlanta when I met her, she was still at the end of her sickness, and she had laryngitis, so she really couldn't have fun. But aww, I really got to see the fun side of her. She is she is a hoot, definitely. And, of course, Patrick, I was thrilled beyond all get out to see him. He was late getting there. I was hoping I wouldn't, you know, be late getting there, but I did get there late. But he didn't get there until after I got there anyway. And let me tell you what. I ran up and gave him the biggest hug you can ever imagine, and it was just so good to see him. It felt like, you know, no time had passed since I had seen him in August. So, and then, like I said, him and Galen were just super hilarious to watch together. Patrick actually got up and sang with Eric. They sang Bad to the Bone. That was fun. It's like towards the end of the song, they started to improvise and add lyrics that don't belong. It's hilarious. But again, I think Sean was up on the stage with them at that point too, on the pole. He didn't really sing. He just yelled funny things into the microphone, like when he was on there with us. I, of course, didn't know what he was saying while I was singing. I was too busy trying to understand how to work, because I've never sang karaoke before, so I didn't know what I was doing, so I looked dumb. But going back and watching the video, because they give you a video if it's your first time singing with the actors or whatever, or singing, period, and so I got a video of it, and I could not stop laughing through the whole video. It was hysterical. So that event was fun. That actually, towards the end of the night, they did tickets. Ugh, my brain is starting to
raffle.
Yeah, they did the raffle, and I actually won. I was really surprised. It's like,
wow,
all of a sudden I'm winning at every event I won something. It was basically you could pick what you wanted when you won, and so it was whatever was there or was left on the table. And I picked up this nice bag. It's like a, you know, a tote bag, and it's got, you know, it has all their autographs on it, and it says LADCE or something like that. It has the hourglass on it and everything. That was a lot of fun. It was great fun. So, again, that was 4 hours of open bar. And so it was very interesting, to say the least, but it was a lot of fun. So that's basically all that happened during the karaoke was singing and visiting.
It probably didn't hear any rumors there, but there's a rumor floating around that Sean Christian was telling people there's be some Danifer scenes coming up.
Oh, I never heard that one.
Oh, okay. Maybe he had a cruise this weekend. Maybe he said it was cruise.
Yeah, I think it was his cruise because I didn't go on the cruise. But I think I've heard that through the grapevine as well. But yeah, there was actually no Days talk and spoilers talk at the karaoke. That was basically karaoke and hanging out and drinking. It was nothing like any of the other events at all.
Oh, yeah, it'd be hard to do it there, I'd imagine, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think that's it, unless you have other questions. It was definitely amazing, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. I
great.
Didn't want to go on Sunday.
I had a good time. That's neat.
Oh, did Galen sing anything? Just curious.
He got up on the stage a couple of times. Actually, it was the DCE family, so it was all the organizers and the actors got up together and sang We Are Family. But he didn't really sing like where you could hear. He was one of the background, and he didn't even have a microphone. From what I've heard, he doesn't sing or didn't want to, so. That was the only time. I think that was the only time he was up on the stage. Yeah.
How do they run that karaoke thing? Like, if you want to sing with Patrick, do you have to put in a request or get to pay?
No.
I mean, yeah.
No, you didn't have to pay. It was basically you sing with whoever you want. So you go to the person that works at the you know, at Dimples, and you tell them the number of the song that you want. And what your name and who all is singing, whether you put your names down or you put like a fun group name down.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Judy Evans in our group, I think it was the G Spots.
That's cute.
So, yeah, I just went up to them and said, yeah, me and Patrick. I gave them my name, and of course, they got my name all butchered to pieces. They put an R in there and did all kinds of things. I'm like, can you not? I mean, I don't know what it is about people that hear an R when I say my name, but it gets me every time. So, yeah, they totally butchered my name like crazy. And actually, when they called us the very first, when it was our turn to sing, Patrick was nowhere to be found. He was actually outside. I was like, oh, Patrick. So we had to wait through two more people to go. So, yeah. But, yeah, you just put in your name and whoever you want to sing with. So I think Eric got up with one other person. I don't know who she was. He donned a wig, and they sang Paradise by the Dashboard Light. That was
fun.
Oh,
my gosh.
He had on this long, like, this dirty blonde type wig, that long hair. It was hilarious. Oh, and he got up by himself and sang, oh, I forget which Bon Jovi song it was. I keep forgetting which one. He sang one of my favorite Bon Jovi songs, and oh my gosh, he was amazing. I've never heard him actually sing, and he got up there and he sang so beautiful. He almost sounded like Bon Jovi. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
But I can't, for the life of me, remember the name of it, the song. So, yeah, trying to think. And then a lot of times it was just groups of fans that would get up and sing. And I think Judy only sang the one song one time with the group that she sang with. I think Eric was up there more than anybody. Eric and Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick sang with me, and then he and Eric sang together, and then, like I said, it was a whole group of them that got up there to sing We Are Family. And Sean didn't sing really either. Like I said, he was just a stage ornament and having fun with the pole. It was hysterical, because that's what he did the whole time. Patrick decided he was the hat guru. He went around giving people hats. And he kept changing his hat. He had all these umpteen different hats when he was up there with We Are Family. And then he did one other, I can't remember what. But even when I was up there with him, he was about to put the hat, he was wearing that, like a sombrero type of hat. And then he was getting ready to put it away, and he went and put it on my head instead. So I had a hat. And that's when he went and got the football helmet. Put that on. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. There was so much hysterical funniness going on that night. That was craziness.
I'm glad you had a good time.
Thank you. So the next event that I believe I'm going to is Boston.
You think you're going to make it?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go. I'm really wanting to meet Lauren Coslow.
Mm-hmm.
She's supposed to be there, and Brian DiTillo is supposed to be there. Patrick's supposed to be there. I'm like, yeah, I got to go. I got to find my way there somehow. So, and then there's some crazy talk about there might be an event in Nashville at some point, or I don't know. There was supposed to be, like, because I guess the Day of Days is not happening in LA this year. They're supposedly
mm-hmm.
going to take it on the road. I don't know how, when, where, any of that. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's only going to be one thing, and they just pick a city and go, and like they do it around in November like usual, or I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it, so I just got to keep an eye out for it.
Okay. Anybody have a question for Savannah?
You talked about Valerie. I was just wondering if you'd gotten to see her. She's such a lovely person, so I'm glad you got to spend some time with her.
Oh, yeah, thank you. That was awesome.
Yeah, you had a great time. Sounds like it was well worth it.
Yeah, it was definitely worth it. And worth coming home illness, too.
Hope you get to feeling better soon.
Oh, thank you. I'm definitely not feeling like I did when I first got home. I felt horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, I think there's a lot of, like, sinus. I know on my second round of stuff, and Marianne's been sick and stuff, and it's just like, it seems like it's hard to shake. Like, it's hard to get rid of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully you'll get feeling better soon.
Let me put on Angela. She's been on hold for a while. Angela, is that you?
Well, thanks for updating us, Sabina.
You're welcome.
Angela, is that you?
Yeah, hey, Carrie. Sorry, I had the phone on mute. I was listening to Sabina. That was a great report. I had not gotten to hear very much about the weekend, so I was glad to hear everything she had to say. It was great. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me, Sabina?
Yeah.
I can hear someone.
I can hear you.
Oh. Okay. No, I was just, because I was listening to Sabina, so I didn't have a whole lot of specific comments. I was just, like I said, I was just listening in. I thought you had a great interview with Blake Barris this week.
I'm sorry, I have a screen call. What were you saying?
I was saying that you had, your interview with Blake Barris was very good this week.
Thank you. We really enjoyed it.
I thought he was very nice, and
he's a really good guy. You can tell. I loved what he said about Lauren Coslow. I was like, aw.
Yeah, he was very interesting. I'm really anxious to see what they're going to do with Nick. You know, he didn't let anything away, so we'll just have to kind of wait.
He sure didn't.
I think that'll be very good. I'm looking forward to seeing that. obviously he's been doing scenes with Suzanne Rogers, I know, so that's why he's killing us Saturday night, but that was nice. So it's been really interesting. And then I called in to Rose's show, I guess it was the same night. She had Skylar.
Yeah, they were back to back, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Yancey, yeah. And he was very entertaining too, very nice. So,
yeah, I want to find those naked off Broadway show clips from on YouTube.
That was a shocker, wasn't it? It was interesting.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
So from what I gather from that, he's more comfortable being naked than he is singing karaoke. So next time, I think I'm just gonna say instead of karaoke, just get naked, okay?
Well, I think really the high point of that interview was really Anna Kazuhich calling in and discussing, you know, her whole vision for storyline with the martial arts with martial arts class. That was the highlight of that interview. So it was really good to hear from Anna. Represented everyone well.
Oh gosh. Yeah, so sounds like we have more to look forward to of him. And
right,
Blake, yeah, I really enjoy. Blake sounds like such a smart guy, and he's a really,
mm-hmm.
sounds like he knows his stuff and really like a sponge, trying to learn everything he can and everything. So it was really neat to talk to him.
Yeah. I loved him as Nick, and he's one of my favorite, you know, characters that they had. And so I was really disappointed when they wrote him off, so I'm excited that he's coming back, and I hope he stays around for a while, because I know they're trying to build up the younger group, and I really think Skylar's really a good addition. I love Kate Nancy, and then obviously, you know, Blake coming back as Nick, so we'll just have to see what else they do, but I thought that was all very good. Another topic about with the show, I did see this week and was pleased to see that they had officially listed the other writers that they have let go. So I no longer have to say ugly stuff about Nancy Williams-Watt anymore. Nancy is now gone. I'm sorry. Again, I don't wish anybody to lose their job. I don't mean that in an ugly way.
Oh, really? I hadn't
heard
that. What were the changes they announced this week?
Oh yeah, it was in the writers' room. There's an article also based on loyalty. If you go and look in the bottom half, it lists out the writers' room and it who else was gone today. And they listed out that Victor Gianelli. I may be mispronouncing his name, but he's been on. He was you know, writing with Dina. He's been there forever. And he was on Nancy Williams-Watt, Lacey Dyer, the younger writer.
Oh, good.
You
mean the one that wrote that Stefano something about a hot mess, or what was it that she did one day where she had Jit EJ saying something, and they would never say that.
Squishy, we had, and poor old Stefano was saying, whoa.
Yeah.
But I mean, she has some good scripts too.
She actually did have some scripts that I thought were pretty good. I think she did the one last Friday, maybe, or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the one where
Stefano
was
shot. Young, she was young, and she had some good, and she was, you know, sort of a mix. But I wish I had my list. But I actually sent out an email, I mean, a Twitter last week, and I listed everybody that they had. Had exited, but it was, oh, I know, the screenwriter, Schroeder, the guy that had written for Patrick Dune's movie. I'm trying to think, Peter Rich, I think it's Pete T. Rich.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was a big crowd, but it was primarily all the ones they had brought on, a lot of the folks that had been on Passion. And then, you know.
As long as it wasn't the Coltons.
What now?
As long as it wasn't the Coltons.
No. Oh, no. And they specifically said not the Coltons.
Thank
and as a matter of fact, and this was, I think, one of the most encouraging things, and again, I know I stand alone in that I'm still optimistic about Gary Tomlin, because I know no one else holds the same idea that I do about him, so I won't even get into that. But I do think, you know, I do think you've got some leadership there, and I think that it's really good. I'm excited about, you know, Lorraine Broderick obviously is an excellent writer. Most of the people they brought on, like I said, with Lorraine and the Culletons, were people, really very experienced writers from As the World Turns and Guiding Light experience. And then there's also one that had written with Lorraine and Agnes Nixon during the last 4 months of All My Children. They brought them on. So the writing team is going to be very, I think, very strong. It's going to be the most experienced writing team Days has ever had. And I was quite impressed to read the list of who all they got. That was good, I thought.
I hadn't seen that.
I was very encouraged with that. And then, the fact that Richard Culleton, Carolyn Culleton, Lorraine Broderick have all in some combination or another worked with most of these people before in award-winning writing teams.
Well, that's really important. If they've been on a team together and been successful, that hopefully means that they can replicate that success.
Absolutely. That's what I think, too. And but I think, I think, too, like I said, the fact, that these were shows where the Culletons were either the head writers or co-head writers, too, at times with a lot of these people. So I really, like I said, I'm extremely excited that they've got some really experienced people. And like I said, I think Lacey Dyer, I think, was obviously the youngest right out of school. And I think, I think she had some good and not so good. But I think, I think she was kind of on the fence with those. But I think with the fact that they were able to get so many people with such experience and that had all worked together before on award-winning programs speaks a lot. So I'm excited about that. And I saw something, too, this week. I'm just talking off the top of my head, so y'all interrupt me at any time here. I also saw they listed finally what the reels were that were submitted for the Emmys. Did y'all see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. They had, because Days is nominated for, hard to believe, Best Writing, the script that they, in the reel, was from November 7th. Of last year, and Richard Culleton was, a lead writer on it, and it was the snowstorm story. But that's what they submitted for Best Writing, and that was a good show. That was a good show.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we all love Richard and Carolyn Culleton. And then for Best Show, they're one of the three nominees for Best Series, and they submitted the November Tryst with EJ and Sammy.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
The grief sex episode, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess out of last year, I think those really probably were the two best episodes they had, so in my opinion. So I thought that was good. There were several articles. There was somebody was tweeting about it today, and I think I may have put a link out there, too. They had some type of projection article with Michael Fairman, Nelson Branco, and Dan Kroll. And Dave was not heavily favored in any category. But it was interesting. I had some interesting Twitter conversations today with some folks. Probably this is one of the few times I really don't really hope that Dave wins. I don't think, and General Hospital is also up, and of course, and those are the two shows I really watch. One Life to Live, was not nominated for Best Serial last year, and I think that was really the best series that was on last year, and they weren't even nominated. But I'm really hoping All My Children wins. I know that's terrible, but Lorraine Broderick, who is now one of our writers, she and Agnes Nixon wrote as the final finale that they nominated. And so I'm kind of really actually pulling for them simply because if GH has excellent stories too, with Intervention and something else with Jonathan Jackson that was excellent. But, I just feel like the two regimes for both General Hospital and Dave, it was such a rocky situation. I'm just not sure, and they would be the people that would receive the award. Not necessarily some, the producers and writers from anyway, so I don't know. I don't know who will win, but Dave is not favored. But it was interesting. I did not know what the reels were, period, that they had submitted. So that was interesting to me. I had read that this week. That's the only thing, like I said, I just have been amazed at the Stefano story and just holding on to the hope that Stefano was really not gone.
Mm-hmm.
The Phoenix rise again. So just I'm
the
hoping for that.
Actually, yeah, I know you tweeted, yeah, the ratings actually went up last week. Dave is back in third. Mm-hmm. You're the only show that gained. So that was fascinating. I think that's been the stuff, though.
Oh, absolutely, it was due to Stefano. I think it's good. I think that all of it's really going to play out once July hits and the newer work comes out and we start to see what that is. And then I saw a sneak peek on. I can't remember what it was today. And obviously, I think Chandler Massey's really good scenes coming up. So well.
What's that noise again?
I don't know. It's not me. I promise. Because I'll have Sabina was on and I was on.
Yeah. It sounds like someone's like beating the heck out of their phone. I'm going to try mute. Okay, there we go. It happens again. I'll start muting people and figure out what's going on.
We heard it last time, too. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard it, too, when Sabina was on. I wasn't on, so I'm not sure. It's not me. I could say I even cut my ceiling fan off before I started talking, so that's what was.
I had mine on mute, so.
I knew. I was in you.
But
overall,
it was a good week. The show, I think, overall, I hate to see Renee Jones leave, but, I mean, she has done a fantastic job with this Lexi story. It has just been week after week of good performances with her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting. And I think, I think when Sabina was talking about James Rimmel, and I'd met him in Atlanta at the book signing last year, whatever year it was, I can't remember now, if it was 2010 or 2011. And he is so personable, and he is such a nice guy. And it sounds like he's going to have another really good story even after Lexi's death. They're really going to give him another good story. So I'm hopeful for him. I think he well deserves it. He's been on the show over 30 years, and he is obviously a really good actor. He does a lot of theater work. So I'm glad to see him getting showcased.
Am I muted?
No.
I heard you, so I guess not.
Okay. I just wanted you to go ahead and mute me, if you don't mind. Because I'm trying not to cough, but, I can't stop my cough.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for calling into being. I'll have you on mute.
You're welcome.
Okay, there we go. So, what else do we miss? Oh, the Christy Clark news this week. I was told last week she was coming back to the show, and I'm assuming she thought she was too, because she left her dressing room as is, and she went and cleared it out this week. So, I don't know what's going on with Dave, but sounds to me that one week someone's in charge and one week someone else is in charge. I just don't get it. I mean, Christy went from being not fired with the first wave, then they fired her after she found out, about the other three. Then they fired her, and then they told her she was coming back, and then Caitlin told everybody she was coming back. And like I said, she left her dressing room the way it was. And Silver Digest reported the rumor was she was coming back. And then I got it confirmed by a source that she was definitely coming back, but nobody knew when. I remember source Ryan also tweeted that he heard that she was only going to be off the air for 2 months. So I don't know what the heck is going on that all of a sudden she had to go down and clean out her dressing room.
Yeah.
So that is just a mess.
I had heard something that week.
I think they've got different hires and fires and stuff going on behind the scenes, and they probably needed her dressing room for somebody else, is what I'm guessing.
I really do think they're still making some adjustments about for the story, and you know, and I'm sure that, you know, would not be a bit surprised. We'll see some more switching around, you know. But I had heard that earlier in the week, and I thought, and then Carrie, then heard from you, you know, what about the dressing room thing? So just have to kind of hold tight and wait and see. But I do think there are a lot. There's still a lot more folks to leave. So we just haven't seen, you know, seen the final list. Like,
yeah, it's so bizarre, and
seems like a fluid situation, I guess.
Yeah, I feel bad for Christy because the poor girl's getting jerked around. And while this is going on, Patrick got a movie and a television show. So it just seems like, he was able to move on pretty quickly. And, you know, that might have handicapped Christy from getting other work. You know, she probably was trying to keep her schedule free. I mean, I felt so horrible for her. I want to,
No, it's really hard to know, though, you know, whether, you know, someone's gone, maybe gone for a while or and still come back. And I think, you know, unless they're, it's hard to say.
Yeah,
you know,
you're on there, Ann.
In 2 months.
Oh, okay, I keep getting dropped.
I know, I saw that. That's really weird. Go ahead. Yeah, Marianne got hung up on twice. But she's back on. Go ahead, Angela.
No, I just I think, like I said, it is kind of fluid. I'm still, you know, I think they still have a number of other folks, but obviously there are good many, you know. I guess there's no final decision about Peter Reckle, and you know, we've heard about Molly Burnett, and so it's just a number of folks, and of course Ian and Sarah Brown. So I don't know. I think that they really are. So, you know, remember that statement that came out from Greg Ming, which was not very well composed about what the direction was, that there were lots of folks with a lot of different opinions of how to go forward with the show. And I think that was kind of indicative of the problems they've had. So I'm still kind of hopeful, you know, and again, I know I have a unpopular opinion. But I do think, you know, there's good and bad with Gary Tomlin, but I think he's got a lot of leadership, and that he's definitely involved, and you know, he's not going to sit from an office, you know, pontificating. So I still wouldn't be surprised if there's not another shift around of executive producer roles and that kind of thing. But I have no way. I don't know that for sure. It's just my own opinion. So just take it for what it is.
Yeah, I've seen Gary Tomlin at the helm, and I hated it. You know, I don't want to see all race and all Dr. Dan 24/7. I don't want to see that. I already saw that once. And I was hoping with this Carrie Austin storyline that she's pregnant. I'm thinking, oh, great. You know, she decided she's going to stay with Austin. I was like, oh, great. She'll get away from Rafe. No, Rafe got hired back at the film Police Force, and Carrie's going to be Will's attorney. They're working together again. It's like, Jesus Christ. And I can't even watch one episode of Carrie and Austin without Rafe practically stalking them the entire flipping episode. And even if he's not there, she's thinking about him or they're talking about him. And, you know, I was kind of hoping, oh, great, we'll break away from that and Carrie and Austin can be happy the last month of the show that they're going to be on. And, you know, I just think that we're going to see one more month of crap.
And I'm not a Galen Gehring, you know, big fan, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, a lot of this stuff is the end of the Mardar stories, you know, but you know, what's going on about Christy Clark on or off and who, because, you know, then there was, you know, then, you know, Arianne Zucker had some Twitters, a couple, was it last week? I think, or we may have discussed this last weekend. You know, where she was asking, you know, Austin Nicole or Daniel Nicole, and, you know, and I'm going, Austin. I mean, you know, it's true, Austin and Nicole did have storyline together years ago when Austin Peck was on the show. But, you know, that thing, to me, that kind of came out of the blue. So, you really just don't quite know, and I don't think we've really seen what they're going to write. And, again, they're just now making the final announcements as far as who is going to be on the writing team. So I'm going to have to hold tight and see. But I do think whoever is, you know, truly an executive producer or the showrunner, it doesn't make a difference who the executive producer title is, but who's the true showrunner, if that person has really got to have a hold of the show, because I think that's where there's been such a problem, you know, as far as just finally really getting to something that and sticking with it. And, you know, we've had some really bad episodes where the writing was inconsistent. Told Sammy in one episode was saying, well, that last year I was pregnant, you know, with Ray's baby, and I'm saying, you weren't pregnant with Ray's baby last year. You had thought you had cancer. You know, crazy stuff that got on the air and that should never have. So, you know, I know they brought back, was it Fran Myers as the editor? So, you know, I think we just have to hold tight. At least that's on to be optimistic about what comes in July and August. And really, really hope that whatever they have as their cliffhanger story in August is strong, because that's the biggest worry I have for the show right now, is it's 2 weeks off the air when the show is less than compelling. This is not a good time for that happened today. But we have the positive part is that, you know, with Stefano's story and everything this past week, the ratings were up. So just have to wait and see. But I do feel good about the writing team, and that's a huge component of them being able to come back.
Let me think. I just wanted to mention the whole Will thing. Yeah, Will got arrested this, for some reason or other, the day after Stefano's murder. He had gunpowder residue on his hands, which is ridiculous. But the one thing that really stuck out to me this week was Will was kind of pushing Sammy by pretending he was in a relationship with Sonny. And that was just so awesomely awkward all the way around. But Sammy was awkward, and Sonny was awkward because the whole thing was kind of a lie. And I just thought it was kind of funny. And I'm not sure exactly why Will did that, considering everything else that's going on in the world. And then Anna and I were tweeting. We thought Sammy would throw Marlena under the bus for Stefano's murder, but then she accidentally tells Roman that Will was running around with a gun the night Stefano's murder. It's like, you dumbass. What else would you think that for? But thank goodness that Sammy, I guess, does throw Marlene under the bus this week. So, staying in character. So I was concerned about that. You girls have anything else you want to add? Is there anything we can touch on this week?
I'm drawing a blank now.
I know we had
Lexi,
no.
You know, the Lexi stuff.
Yeah. Nicole in the paternity test.
Oh, yeah.
She did have, I'm assuming Daniel was the one who fixed it to make it Race be the father. And that was so awkward, but she went to hug him, and Nicole had that look in her eye, like she was going to seduce him. I mean, it was super creepy. And
Daniel Nicole thing is gross to me. I'm just like, no. Please, no.
Then we had Gabby, and her stalker is, that she's paying is doing really creepy things, like sticking rats in her salad. And things are getting so out of control to the point that they got Race involved, and now Race forbidding her from modeling. So she's not real happy with her stalker. So besides that, that story was pretty stupid and boring. Let's see if we got anything else. Oh, and then turns out with Don Hope and John Marlena, all of them lied to each other about where they were that night of Stefano's shooting. So, good thing they aren't married to each other anymore, though. But John and Hope are still married.
So
that's true. It's like they can't do the plead the fifth for their spouse thing. This could get complicated if the show actually remembers that Bo and Hope and John and Marlena aren't actually married to each other. This could be complicated.
Yeah, I think actually that comes out soon because I saw the spoilers. Bo and Hope go back to counseling to talk about Zach's death.
Oh, okay.
And then but basically John and Hope weren't honest about really what happened on Alamania, that they were accusing and making out a lot. So I guess everybody kind of figures out more happened there than they said. So we are going to revisit the whole joke thing.
Oh, great.
I mean,
great.
Considering
it was so great the first three times. I'm sorry, Marianne, were you saying something? Marianne? Oh.
No.
Oh, I thought
no.
You were saying. You want to see
no.
Jump again?
Subsex.
Yeah. You don't need to be reminded of that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, sorry. Well, I think it's time to wrap it up then. So, do you have anything more to add, Angela?
No, it was just nice hearing about Sabina's trip and talking with you girls. So thanks.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for the news on the writers. I hadn't caught that, so that's interesting. All right.
Oh, Marianne got dropped again. That poor girl. I don't know what's going on. Must be the show. She just got hung up on him for the third time.
Oh,
well,
no.
It's probably, that's crazy. Well, it's probably time to wrap it up. So I'd like to thank Sabina for calling in and giving us her stories, and Angela for calling in and updating us on the writer's situation. And poor Marianne for being a trooper and calling in three times. Poor girl. So we don't have anything planned this week, so we'll just see everybody next week. Same time,
right.
Same place. Thanks
okay,
a lot.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.